Verse number 1. The Bible says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Now, some time back, I gave a brief synopsis of a couple of the things we had covered in the Wednesday evening service. And today, I just want to refocus briefly a bit more in depth concerning just those two first two verses. And Lord, I pray that you would help me do this today so that we may understand what you have to say, what we might learn, and how we may better serve thee. Christ, let me pray. Now, you may remember that I had asked, what is a proverb? The word proverb itself bears, in the original sense, some superiority in mental action. Which word itself comes from a word meaning to rule or to have power. So to have power in life because of superior mental action. Now, yesterday during the jobs that we did, we needed power in life through superior mental action. Otherwise, we would have big bits of wood falling on our heads. We would need to the application of wisdom. In other words, not leaning the ladder against the wall we're trying to take down. You know, that's a very important thing. You know, not standing directly underneath. Application of wisdom. Otherwise, bad things might happen. Now, these proverbs here, they're like spiritually based steroids for your brain. The wisdom of the age is compressed and ready for consumption right here. Now, as I said before, some of the greatest minds in history have been people that studied the scripture. People like Sir Isaac Newton. See, studying the scripture will enlighten your mind. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You're taking that light and putting it in your brain. Have you ever walked into a dark room and tried to find something? It's difficult. Especially when you have children, because there seems to be some unwritten rule of whatever object your foot connects with will be the loudest toy in that particular room. And sometimes it's like that with our brains. They're dark. They're clouded. We can't think. We can't focus. But we bring the light of the Word of God and things seem to make a bit more sense. Have you ever heard somebody say after they've done something particularly stupid, it seemed like a good idea at the time? You ever heard that? Somebody said, well, it seemed like a good idea at the time. Yes, it did at the time because their brains weren't enlightened. You know, they go out and get drunk and crash a car. Well, it seemed like a good idea at the time to go out and get drunk. Like, well, yeah, but if your brain was enlightened, had the Word of God in there, the Bible says, wine is a mocker, strong drinker raging. That's the light. The light shines in there. And you say, oh, I don't want to do that. And that way you keep your car. And you don't get arrested with points on your license or anybody dying. Now remember, there's a difference between intelligence of an individual and their wisdom. I mean, I know some very intelligent people who are lacking in wisdom. They have the mental processing power. However, they are unable to apply that in a good way in their lives. I mean, I used to be like that, especially early on in my military career. I mean, I passed all the tests they'd ever set before me with no problems. But I still got into a lot of trouble because I didn't have the wisdom to know when to be quiet. I was unsaved at the time, so I didn't have the benefit of the desire to spend time in God's Word. See, if you spend time in this book, it will help your mind. I mean, if I had only read and understood Proverbs 13:3, which says, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. I mean, just that one verse in itself would have saved me weeks of extra duty. Weeks of extra duty. It's amazing how much trouble you can get in with your mouth. If you just say the wrong thing to the wrong person at the wrong time, it can have long-lasting consequences. You know, it can have consequences like, oh, it's time for cleanup detail. Aaron Bangs, you're on it. You know, next week, oh, it's time for cleanup detail. Guess what, Aaron Bangs? You're still on it. You know, walking around picking up rubbish all over the base, week after week after week. Oh, yeah. It taught me to just be quiet sometimes. It's a good thing, you know. When somebody asks you your opinion of something, just temper your words, you know. Sometimes the exactly what's on your mind isn't the best thing to say. You just have to alter it slightly so it comes out in a good way. You know, when your sergeant says, do you think I'm an idiot? Don't say yes. Oh, yeah. So, you know, just that one proverb would have saved me a lot of difficulty. Now here it says the Proverbs of Solomon, who was the wisest man that was, because of God's blessings. Now he identifies himself here as the son of David, who was also the anointed of the Lord, and a man after God's own heart. Solomon respected his father and wanted to be a good king. He also afterwards says he's the king of Israel, as if this is of lesser importance than being the son of David, which is wise. You know, to a wise man, that's important, your lineage. It's a declaration of authorship, not grand or self-serving, merely stating who wrote it. It shows humility, which is a mark of wisdom, especially because this was the richest king that Israel had ever known, and powerful in reach, and world-renowned for his wisdom. Now to know, that is to properly ascertain by seeing. Not just recognizing, but knowing wisdom. It's a very close examination rather than a simple glance. You know, for example, if I showed you a picture of an F-16, you'd probably recognize that. You'd say, that's an F-16. See, you could recognize it, but you don't know it. Whereas, if you show me a picture of an F-16, I know the aircraft. I've crawled up inside it. I've been inside. I've dismantled bits and pieces. I've inspected stuff, and you know, I have a good understanding of what goes on. You know, that is the difference between just recognizing wisdom and knowing wisdom. You see, there's a close inspection there. That's what it's talking about. To have a close inspection, to examine it. Now wisdom, some people define it as utilizing knowledge and experience with common sense and insight. Now of course, as it concerns spiritual matters, I believe a better definition would be looking at life from God's point of view. The analysis of information, experience, and common sense, and you take that and you apply it to the decisions that we make in our lives in accordance with God's will and plan. For example, let me illustrate. If you're approached by a man who's been hanging around the back of a van, who opens the van and says, would you like to buy a case of whiskey for £5? You know, this is some guy just... You see sometimes people hang around with vans like, hey, I'm going to buy a case of whiskey for a fiver. You know, he opens a van, a big, you know, case of stuff in there. Now, your intelligence would say, well, that's actually a very good price for that particular thing. You know, that is a very good price. But your wisdom will say, one, this is not a good thing to have. This will cause me problems. This is, you know, the Bible doesn't, you know, approve of that stuff. And two, more than likely, okay, either this stuff is fake or it's nicked. You know, So either way, you know, all those things, your wisdom will say no, 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 and no. Your intelligence may say, that sounds like a good deal. Your wisdom will say no. Or if maybe it could be something else, like, you know, like a PS3, you know, they say, hey, you want to buy, you know, PlayStation 3? 50 quid. You know? Now, you're thinking about it, aren't you? You know? But, you know, somebody, let me just tell you, if somebody tries to sell you a PlayStation 3 for 50 quid, let's say, it's probably warm to the touch, you know what I mean? It's either stolen or broken. You know, just to let you know, if something is too good to be true, more than likely it is not true. It's just, you know, wisdom. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:16, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? Because money is easy. Anyone can get money. Wisdom is far more precious. Because I know some people with cash, but they got no wisdom. You know, so their money flies away from them. You know, I knew one guy, he was, you know, had a good paying job, far more than me, and he never had any money. Because he never had any wisdom. He'd just go out on impulse and just buy junk. Just buy stuff, you know. He had a 42-inch LCD TV, and then somebody came out with a 52-inch, so he bought that. And so he's got both of them. And then he bought something else. And he bought another little computer. And he bought, you know, a gasoline-powered pressure washer. And it's like, no wonder you've got no money. You keep on buying all this stuff. You don't need that. You don't need two of them. You don't need that. You don't need that. And he had no money because he had no wisdom. He just had wisdom. He'd have sorted it out for a lot less than he actually paid for that job. You know? It's far more valuable, wisdom. And then the Bible says instruction. That is a warning, a correction, a chastisement and discipline. The things that will allow you to accomplish a task that you've never done before. Instruction. Like I'm trying to give instruction to my son Max. I'm teaching him certain things, or at least attempting to do so, like to stay away from the stove when it's hot, to come when he's cold, and not to try and hang on the drawers, because he likes to pull out the drawers and hang on them, trying to teach him not to do that. Or other things like trying not to headbutt his mother in the face sometimes. He does that as well. You hold him like, hey! Bang! It's like, ah! You know, trying to teach him, give him instruction not to do those kind of things. He gets instruction of other things. He climbed in, you saw him, he climbed into the driver's seat the other day of the car. I said, where's the steering wheel? He reached forward, grabbed the steering wheel. I said, where's the gear shift? He looked over, grabbed the gear shift. We hadn't taught him what the gear shift was. He just knew what it was. I'm like, man, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, figure out I said to Michael, who's going to get their license first, Max or you? it's debatable, but I was like, yeah, I'm glad his feet can't reach them pedals. You know, he'd be away. He knows which is the car key. He sticks it in the door and tries to turn it. He's like, car, car. I'm like, come on, let's go. No, something doesn't need instruction in. But you've got to be able to receive that instruction. And when I'm teaching him this, I basically try and tell him no or yes, you know, and pick him up and move him or remove whatever objects he's disobeying about. But these instructions are for his benefit, so that he won't burn himself or break things or injure himself or others. See, God wants to do that with his word for us. And that's why it says here the word instruction. to teach yourself, to be able to accomplish things you hadn't done before. I taught Darren how to hold that saber saw into the wall tight so he could cut down. Now, he hadn't used one of those before to do that. Instruction, teaching. Now, the Bible here says to perceive. That is to mentally be able to distinguish and separate and comprehend the words of understanding. To perceive. Now, there are many words out there in our lives today. But some words in our lives are not there to provide us with a greater understanding of what is righteous. Some words out in the world today are words of confusion. When men call good evil and evil good, those are words of confusion. When people call sin an alternative lifestyle, those are words of confusion. When people take a stand for righteousness, but other people call that narrow-mindedness and hatefulness, those are words of confusion. And we have to have a measurement device in our lives to be able to distinguish these things. You know, because if you just listen to what's going on in the world today, you will be confused. You know, somebody trying to teach their child what is right and what is wrong. Another, you know, the rest of the world saying, oh, you're not allowed to, you know, teach your child that. You're not allowed to teach your child that God created the world. You're not allowed to teach your child about, you know, that, we're started in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve and all those things. No, you have to teach them that billions and billions and billions and billions of years ago, life appeared somehow, and these little protozoa got together and then suddenly just decided to grow eyes and legs and stuff. You know. And they'll call what is teaching righteousness wrong. And those are confusing words, but we need something in our lives to have a standard to measure the words we receive from the world again, so we can discern and understand if the words we are hearing from so many people are indeed words of wisdom and understanding and not confusion. That's why it's vital for us to have an understanding of the scripture and the general principles therein, that we cannot be led astray so easily. Ephesians 4:14, the Bible says, that we henceforth, or in other words, from that time forward, that we henceforth, Ephesians 4:14, be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now you see here, it talks about every wind of doctrine. Not wind of blatant wickedness. Now remember, some words of confusion can come from sources that claim to be Christians, claim to be good, and may even claim to believe some of the same things that you and I do. I mean, I had a chat a while back with some Jehovah's Witnesses, and they told me some of the many things that the Baptist and the Jehovah's Witness agreed upon. But you know, sometimes just a few differences can cause a big change. Let's say if I took you all out for chips, and on the chips, instead of putting sodium chloride, we just left out the sodium part. Just sprinkled some straight chloride on it. Now, the potatoes are the same. The oil it's cooked in is the same. You know, they look the same. But it's not the same, is it? Putting straight chloride on chips is not good for your digestion system. Oh, it'll clear things out all right. Like your lungs and your liver and your kidneys. But it wouldn't taste good, would it? No, it would be bad, very, very bad for you. But there's just a slight difference. Just a slight difference. Just the removal of one element. And that same way with some of these so-called teachers that come around. You have to be careful. They may sound like Christians. They may have some of the same elements of Christians. But those tiny differences can take what is necessary to life, like salt, sodium chloride, and turn it into a poison. Those little differences can make a big difference in what actually happens. But how do we avoid these things that may sound good but not necessarily are good? In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding." You know, we're not to be children as far as it concerns wisdom. We're not to be tossed around with every wind of doctrine. You know, it's easy to mislead a child. It's easy. I mean, you know, you ever were back at school and, you know, you misled one of the other children about something? I remember I heard one time somebody said, "Oh yeah, the bananas aren't actually bananas. They're spider's legs. You know, the big, you know, African spider's leg. And if you open up the banana, you can see the little veins going through, you know, the center." And, you know, I heard one child heard about that, and he wouldn't eat bananas from then on until he was like 15. Because, you know, you mislead him. Because he doesn't know any different. You know? You're thinking like, "Oh yeah, I could try that, couldn't I? They're spiders, yeah." You know, because praise is in here, you might try, and, you know, just like, "Ah, yeah, spiders, good spiders, they crawl through the jungle on yellow legs." No. "Mommy, I don't want to eat bananas anymore." No, you know, it's easy to mislead. But if they have wisdom, if they have the intelligence, they can apply that. They can go online and say, "Oh no, look, they grow in big bunches. They're not actually spiders, that's actually a plant." You know, the application of wisdom there would say, "No, they're not spiders, grow up." But without wisdom, without that knowledge, who knows? You can believe anything. Ephesians 4:23 says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is after God, created in righteousness and true holiness." See, remember, if you're a born-again believer, your behaviors and attitudes and outlook on life must be different than the world. Because if you examine yourself and perceive that you agree with everything that the media is telling you, I'd be for re-examining my relationship with the Lord. See, don't forget, friendship with the world is enmity with God. Because the Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." And if you look in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the Bible says, "And be not conformed." Romans 12, 2. "Be not conformed." In other words, to conform is to be changed by outside pressures. You know? Like when you're getting the recycling ready, and you take those plastic bottles and you conform them to the shape of your foot. Outside pressures. You know? Crunch, crunch, crunch. Changing the shape. Be not conformed to this world. Don't be shaped by this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, there should be a transformation in your life. There should be a growth and understanding as you absorb more and more of the Word of God. You should be able to differentiate between what is true and what is a lie. Even if it's a nice sounding lie. Now, because some lies, they're really nice sounding. They sound great. They sound pleasant. They sound just spiffy. For example, if somebody said to you, well, it doesn't really matter, you know, how you seek after God, or how you refer to Him, because it's all just the same God, or it doesn't matter if what faith you have, or what religion you are, as long as you believe in something, then you'll be okay. You know, and to the world, that would sound nice. That would sound all-inclusive, all-accepting, like, oh, as long as you have faith in something, God will understand. You know, you hear that. You hear that on the television and on the radio, and like, oh, you know, it doesn't matter how you refer to God. You know, it could be, you know, this or that. But if you have a renewed mind, and you've read some of the Bible, you would understand that that is a lie. Right out of the Prince of Darkness's favorite collection. Now, some people might think, well, oh, how can you possibly say that that's a lie? Well, don't believe my words, but Jesus said in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Peter said in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, speaking about Jesus Christ, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you have that wisdom, you'll be able to spot the lies. You'll be able to say, hey, that's not right. You know? You'll see it. It will be obvious because you'll know the truth. In banks, they don't necessarily... A lot of banks don't necessarily start teaching you exactly what a counterfeit bill is like. They give you experience with real money, and if you know what's real, you can spot the fakes, because you know the fake things come through every now and again, and you can spot them. You don't have to study every single one. You just study what is right, what is real, and you can spot the fake ones. The texture, the smell, the ink, you know, the different colors, they'll vary amongst the fakes. But if you know what is real, you'll be able to see it easily. Like, this is photocopied. Those are for those really cheap criminals, you know, just trying to put it on the photocopy. There was one who tried to do the photocopying in the store and then cut it with scissors. No! Oh dear. Some people, I don't know. But we can spot the lies if we apply the instruction and the wisdom. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And you know what is interesting here? Is the word understanding. It has its roots from the same word as used in the second verse of our text, to perceive. Which, if you think about it, makes sense, because we gain understanding through our perception. As we progress in our Christian lives, we will often find that our perception, the way we see things, alters and grows. Now, this doesn't mean that the truth changes, but our ability to understand it should grow over time. For example, a very simple truth is that Jesus loves you. That's a very simple truth, that Jesus loves you. Now, I found that out when I first got saved. You know, I found out Jesus loves me. Little children know about it. They sing the song, Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. simple truth. First found out about it when I got saved. But, you know, it was told to me, I accepted it. But as I grew as a Christian, I started to understand that this love was far greater than I had first imagined. As I learned more, for example, the substitutionary death of Christ for me, coupled with the fact that, you know, of his omniscience, in other words, that he knew everything about me, everything I had done, everything I would do, and yet he still died for me. See, this increased and deepened my understanding of the love that he had for me. So yes, Jesus loves me, but my perception and thence my understanding has grown with that truth. You know, you get to know more and more about it. You know, Jarek, when you first started driving, you knew that you put the car, you know, the key in, and the car goes vroom, and you drive. But since then, you've studied more mechanics. You know that, okay, put key in, car goes vroom, because the petrol is, you know, go through with the pump, and, you know, it gets sprayed in, and the sparks and stuff. And you understand more about that. Your understanding, your perception of the car is deeper and greater than yours. You probably don't have an understanding of the fuel filter system and, you know, how things... You know, you just know, stick it in, go, vroom, and go. You know, that's your understanding. Your understanding level is here about cars. His understanding level is about here about cars. I don't know about mine. But somewhere there. But, you know, your perception, your understanding is deeper and greater than it was as you grow in your knowledge and application of wisdom. When I 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. This process of deepening understanding should continue throughout our lives until that day when we see Christ. But it is through the ingesting and application of God's Word that this process may continue. And that's why we need to be faithful in our study of the Scriptures. I mean, I can't stress enough how vital it is to get into this Word. Because if you're not in there, you won't spot the lies. You won't spot the heresies that come into our lives. And we'll start believing the lies they spout. And don't think it can't happen, because I know it has happened. I've known people that were strong and faithful Christians out there witnessing, sharing their faith, and I started believing the lies of the world that, oh, everyone gets to go to heaven. And think about that. It sounds nice, doesn't it? But it's a lie. But what's the bigger problem with that? Well, the bigger problem with that, if you think, well, if everyone gets to heaven, then why should I tell anybody about it? If they're going anyway, I don't actually need to speak to them, do I? If they're going to heaven anyway, then just let them go on and do whatever they're going to do. And thereby having lots and lots of people going straight to the lake of fire. May sound nice, but the ultimate result of that lie is people being punished. But perhaps you don't have that desire for truth because you do not have that truth. And what truth is that? The truth is that Christ died for you. The truth is Christ. And if you do not have Christ, who is the truth, then you do not have the way or the life. And without Him, you cannot come to the Father. But the good news is that Christ has loved us enough to die upon the cross for our sin. He paid the price for our sins. And if you're here today and you do not know Christ, you can receive Him today. Just repent, that is to turn away from your sin and toward Christ. Receive Him and receive that eternal life and the forgiveness of sin. And then you can begin your journey with wisdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for the day and Your love and for Your mercy. And I pray, Lord, that You would help us all to seek Your face and seek that wisdom which You have given to us. You've written it in Your Word, which need to just reach out and take it, Lord. I've seen the application of what the application of wisdom has done. And it's wonderful, Lord. Help us to seek Your face and bring others to You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We'll go ahead and just sing the first two verses of Because He Lives.
God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know and life is worth the living just because He lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy He gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives.
Amen. Thank You, Lord, for Your love and Your mercy. Dismiss us with Your blessings and let us gather again later on today and seek to serve You with our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. And we're going to have a lot of food today because the Lord thought there was a couple more people coming. There's going to be less and there's going to be all kinds of stuff. So that's going to be interesting. I know, because I had to put away the shopping. It's like, Mediterranean vegetables, Mediterranean vegetables. 4 o'clock. Will you be able to make it?
I think so.
You think so? Okay. What time do you go to work? Are you working tonight?
I'm going to uni.
Uni?
Yeah. My sister.
Going to university?
Yeah.
Today?
Today, Pastor. I'm going to take them there.
Oh, they're actually leaving something? Somewhere, or are they just going to check it out, or?
No, they're going to school now, Pastor. The uni in Chelmsford.
On a Sunday?
Yeah. We'll see what we can do, Pastor. We can stay for a foreigner.
Well, because if it's only just us, I can shift the time. You know what I mean?
Well, we can make faster than the time, like 3 o'clock or 5 minutes or something.
Well, because technically from your area, Chelmsford, it's we're kind of on the way.
Yeah,
because you come straight down this way to here, then you go across the 428 to the M11. And that'll take you straight down to Chelmsford. Yeah, you go 428 toward Cambridge.
Yeah.
And then down the M11 to Chelmsford.
Yeah.
So it's kind of on the way. Now, if we need to alter the time for you guys, we can.
Yeah, man. Yeah. What do you want to start? Do you want to start earlier so we can leave earlier?
We may be altering the time of the Bible study.
Sean, could you pass?
No, not right afterwards. No.
What about the others?
What others? Because the only other people that could come would be. If Peter was going to come, he would have been here today. It could be. I'll tell you what. I'll give you guys a call when I call the other people. Because there's the only other people possibly is like Justin and Terry Lee. And yeah, they would be the only others. Well, you already made the food.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to go to Chelmsford, so that's kind of, we're on the way. What I'll do is I'll give Justin and Terry Lee a call in case they're going to come, and just tell them to come at 3 instead of 4. And then that way it'll be easier for you guys. And it'll be after his nap, so that'll be good. Oh dear. Yeah, 3 o'clock should be fine. Yeah, if that makes it easier for you. And we want to make sure it's easier for... Now, is she going to actually live in Chelmsford, or...?
Yeah, we're going to stay there for 3 days.
Oh, 3 days? Okay, so it's just a little.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's only for 3 days.
Okay.
Study sessions.
Okay. Well, you probably actually have more room there, then.
we're staying on her second cousin.
Oh, okay. So yeah, not too much difference then. Yeah, that's understandable. Not a problem. Guys, you pick up like an old van like mine, just put it in the back and just panel out on the inside, put a little bed in there. Yeah. Well, that's one way to carry you around. Yeah. Make sure there's no...
Yeah, I'll make someone else to open up again. Yeah, it's these two here.
Yeah, it's
my...
No, this is watch his hands, so don't...
No, but I'm just...
Yeah, don't crush him.
Nah, only me. You're right, Lyle.
You doing okay, man?
Yeah, not too bad. Okay. Maybe half
a little tickly, but...
Just the patient, so it's probably ages.
Yeah, it's not like bubonic plague or anything. That's next week. Yep. History is good. Some of it.
Yeah. it's a good weather, Pastor. Ah, it's sunny.
Yes, it is. Good day for laundry. It was grayer, but actually I preferred it because it's cooler. Because I don't want to work in the great heat. That's not good. Doing okay?
Yeah.
Okay. You feeling a little better now? Good. Oh, there you go. I can go ahead and take that for you if you want. Okay. Okay, he's got the sign. Let's check with Laura. The boot should be open soon. What I'll do is I'll call Terry Lee, just in case that they're wanting to show up. Yeah. Let's see. You okay there? You okay there? Blah, 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 blah. See the house there, sweetie? Because nobody else, there's no possibility of anyone else coming, really. So what I was going to do is, I'll just call Terry Lee and just tell him, yeah, tell him we've got plenty of food. So tell him just, if they're going to come at 3. What, you want to play in there or something? We've got toys in there. Okay.
All right, there's a few pasta left
here. Yeah, should be fine. I'll, Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
keep yourself, because you're unclean.
Filthy.
All right. Okay.